Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. On this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. So I'm here today with Lisa Boucher of HR Ninja. Hi, Lisa. Nice to see you today.
You too, Anne. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about HR Ninja and what you do?
Yeah, so HR Ninja comes from a couple of things. I've been in the human resources world for over 25 years, working with smaller companies, nonprofits, doing all facets of HR from employee management to risk strategies, compliance, and high-level company planning. The ninja part is because I'm a 6-degree black belt in Taekwondo, and I have my own martial arts school in Hudson Falls, and I've been doing that for over 30 years.
So you've joined your passions together.
Yes, a lot of what I've learned from one can show up in the other. So one of the things in the HR world is having hard conversations, but we do a lot of that in the martial arts world because when you're training and growing individuals, sometimes you have to have hard conversations with them when you see so much potential of how to get that out of them and how to be their best. And it translates over to human resources when you're working with people is how do we see people in front of us for who they are and develop the best of them to be part of us.
So that's a great matchup.
Yeah, it meshes well.
So tell us a bit about your background in HR.
So yeah, I actually have a very varied background to get to the HR world. My 4-year degree is in accounting. I then went back and got my master's degree, my MBA from College of St. Rose. And I originally was working in the accounting world as an accountant for a local mining industry. Went from doing payroll, accounts payable, credit and collections, and then stepped into the role in HR at that company because the HR director had left and the president of the company said, we really think you'd be great for this role. And so he took it. And that was my first real step into human resources. And I just loved it. I loved working with people. I loved being in the mindset with the men, having very open, honest conversations about how to make things better and support them as well as the company. I then did a short stint for an accounting firm doing retirement plans for clients and HR consulting. And so learned a lot about the world of 401ks and simple plans, which has been a great benefit working in human resources to have that understanding. Also got my insurance license at one point, which I no longer have, but it was good to understand that world as well. Then eventually stepped into the role as HR director in my last job and just loved working with people. It was a higher strategic level position, but I still got to work with the people every day and just really is where my heart is in human resources.
You have a good varied background across HR and other business things that are all to what you do.
Yeah, I think that's my little bit of a competitive edge is I understand more than just your human resources. Having helped run small businesses, my husband's owned a small business for over 30 years. I've helped with having helped run other businesses. I understand the operation side, not just the HR side. So I understand when we make an HR change, it affects more than just the HR side of your business, which is important.
So when did you start HR Ninja?
I formally started in May of this year. So it's just been a
few months.
New, yeah. Yes. But I've been doing little things here and there on the side for years. Friends would call for HR advice. Other nonprofits, when you're in the nonprofit world, you help each other as much as possible. So it would help other nonprofits when they were setting up policies, procedures, if they needed help with onboarding, recruiting, and others, I would do the same, lean on others. And the nonprofit world is just a great space.
So from going from working for other people in a 9-to-5, which isn't always 9-to-5,
yes,
but into being self-employed, what did you find the challenges?
I think the biggest challenge is keeping yourself organized and my schedule mostly organized. I'm an organized person to begin with, but when you're trying to make sure you're meeting people where they're at, making sure you're blocking that time to work versus being out working with the people, I think that's been one of my biggest challenges. And I'm getting better at blocking, knowing that I work best in the morning. So that's my office time in the morning, and then getting out for the afternoons to meet and go to meetings and even just networking. Yeah, that's been the hardest for me, because when you work for somebody, they expect you there certain hours. You show up and those are the hours you're there. When you work for yourself, it's making sure setting those boundaries that you work those hours.
So what sort of challenges would, say, a business owner or a manager find that they think like, oh, I need HR Ninja? What would show them?
It's a great question. I think some people sometimes think it's, oh, well, she just wants to come in and do policies and procedures, handbooks or whatever. The reality is sometimes you don't have the people or the space to do a project. So you just need somebody to come in and guide and take care of that project. And a perfect example is, I have a friend who works for a small nonprofit, HR department of one. They have been changing all of their payroll over to a new payroll system, which means payroll, onboarding, terminations, even up to all their benefits, paid time off are in there. They're struggling to make the time to make the project flow. And so now it's gotten bumpy and hard, and employees are upset. Where if somebody comes in and says, let me guide the project for you, somebody who's been there before, I've done many a payroll conversion, and understand what you need to do from beginning to end, and hold the new old and new company accountable for getting information done properly and getting it transferred. So yes, I can come in and just be there when you need a sounding board. I can come in and do your recruiting and your onboarding, do training, help you with open enrollment. Sometimes it's those projects we just can't get to. Also, a small company, lots of times they can't afford an HR person. So there's somebody doing bookkeeping and HR and all the things, and they just need somebody to rely on a few hours a week to help make sure everything's coming together.
To make sure that you're doing these HR things right. Like, do you find that there's a lot of business owners that are just kind of winging it? And then when you get in there, it's like, no, what have you been doing?
Most of them, for the most part, are doing well. If they have a staff of any kind, they're keeping the holes plugged, but there's always something they're not aware of that's missing. So for instance, a small business I recently worked with, they had a changing of people in their office, and their rates of pay change based on what their crew does. In the summer, they mow lawns. In the winter, they snowplow. Their rates change. Well, they're supposed to get a notice of their rate change every time that happens in writing. It fell through the cracks with the new team coming in. And then all of a sudden they found out, we hired all these people, we haven't done this. So it's a small exposure, but it's a financial exposure at the end of the day if something should come up. And so I think most of them are handling it well, but it's more reactive rather than proactive, where when you bring the HR person in, they can step back and take a look and say, here are some small things we can do proactively to line you up for success. You do occasionally get that one entrepreneur who's so excited and has a vision and is just running toward it and doesn't realize all the things that need to be set up in the background. And that's where I could come in with a growing company and be like, let's make sure we're placing all this stuff as you go to keep you compliant along the way.
That sounds really important.
It's beautiful to be an entrepreneur because you have a vision, you have this dream, and you're going for it. You're making it happen, and it's impacting so many wonderful things. But there's so much we all don't know about being in business. So I have lawyers to help me with my stuff. Mm-hmm. I have business advisors to help me with stuff. I have an accountant who tells me how to do things because I can't be an expert in everything. And so I pay the people who are experts in those things, even in marketing, to help me do things right and well, because I just can't know it all. And that's where fractional people can come in. You're not adding a salary to your team. You're not worried about the benefits, but you're getting an expert for those hours that really gives you that base you need.
And you can bring that objectivity that a lot of times business owners don't have.
Yes. When we are very passionate about something, it's hard to see why a small tweak can make a difference, because you think we're changing your vision when really what we're doing is supporting it to the best, and you just let us run with it, take care of it.
That's great. Yeah. What are some other examples of ways you've helped businesses?
I was recently having a conversation with somebody about employee attendance issues, and they work for a very large corporation, and they're struggling with the bottom HR line. It's not clear cut. It wasn't helpful. So giving them some tips on how to have the conversation, like how to track better, how to push back with HR, the questions to ask their HR team. I've had people call me up with questions about how to handle FMLA, paid family leave for the state, how do we do this legally? How are we careful about this? It's a very intricate dance, especially when you get to be 50 employees or more. There's so many more pieces that come into play. I've helped folks look at what benefits are we offering and what can we offer side by side that costs us nothing but is more beneficial to the employee. There's so many ancillary benefits out there that cost the employer nothing that are an add-on. Employees better peace of mind. When we support an employee's home life, they're more stable at work. They're more likely to be there and be more present, which is important. Just things like that that seem very gray and not black and white in the HR world. People think HR is black and white rules and regulations. The reality is every situation is different, but we set precedents every time we allow something. So let's talk through what precedent are we setting? What do we want to do now and in the future? And how do we work with all the things to make it best?
Yes, I had a conversation recently with a group of people and they were talking about like, what are the best benefits to offer employees? And I said, definitely depends on the employee because different people value money. Some people value status. Some people value time. Some people value freedom.
It's very true. And the generations are different. We talk a lot about generations in the workforce, right? And I think back to when I was younger, my grandfather saying, kids today don't want to work. And now our generation is saying, kids today don't want to work. It's not that the younger generation doesn't want to work. They just want to be treated differently and work differently. I remember when I first went to work, my mom's comment was, you go to work, you do what they ask, unless it's illegal or immoral. At the end of the day, they owe you nothing but what the time you worked. And now we look at the generation coming and they're like, well, we want to get paid well. We need benefits to survive. By the way, we want to be treated with respect every day. It's not a hard thing to treat people with respect every day. And not every one of them wants to work remote. Everybody thinks everybody wants to work remote. It's actually not true. Most people thrive with other people around.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But yeah, I think work is different. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And it always will be. And it'll always be changing. And we just have to roll with it and figure out how to make it work. From the benefit side, I'm seeing a lot of chatter around about leave for pregnant moms and even menopause leave now. For those of us that are older and who have been through it, there were days I wish I could have called in and said, can I please take menopause leave? You know, New York State has set up some great paid sick time, which is amazing that they've added that on. It can be hard for smaller employers to navigate, but it can work. Health insurance is huge today. And how much can an employer and will an employer contribute? Is a high deductible plan a good idea? If you have a young group who doesn't need a lot of services, a high deductible plan can be a beautiful model that saves everybody money. Organizations out there like Fidelis that people don't even know about, that lower income earners can get extremely free or cheap health care for themselves and their children that stands alongside an employer's health care plan and costs the employer nothing. And so many people, when I try to introduce them to my friend Marissa Fidelis, are like, this can't be true. And I was like, I felt the same way in the beginning, but it's real. And so helping employers see bringing in supplemental services side by side that costs you nothing but a little bit of admin time, at the end of the day, pay great rewards because of what it's doing for your employees.
Sounds like something really important for employers to know.
It is. It is. And they don't know because when they talk to their insurance agent, all the insurance agent's worried about is what can I sell you?
Yeah.
Right. And most agents are trying to do the best and do the right thing and give them good prices and good plans. But they also don't know about the ancillary because they're not getting paid on ancillary products. Yeah. So they're not worried about recommending them. So it's important to work with somebody who can take that step back and has no investment and say, here's where I think you could add or change to make this better. I've also done comprehensive surveys of employees saying, what do you like about the benefits? What don't you like? What would you like to see different? And you don't always get the answers you anticipate. When we did it for one employer, I really expected a lot of pushback about the cost and it had nothing to do with cost. It was about what was provided in some of the plans and how could we make that better. You make an assumption based on what you think. It's not always the same. So how do we get that information out of employees and how do we get real information when they're afraid to share sometimes?
Because that is often a challenge in HR is that the staff are worried about what they're going to say, whether they'll get in trouble for saying something or...
Yes, there's a lot of pushback like concerns. So when I can do it as a third party where they know I'm the one going through the data, lots of times I'll take the data and I'll kind of like pare it down to take the voices out of the answers. Lots of times if you read an answer, you go, oh, I know where an employer
where that came from.
Exactly. And so that's their fear. So if it comes to me and I have control over the data and then can pare that down and give the employer the basics of this is what really people want, then we can sit down and have a good conversation around how to serve the employees better with that. One of the things came down that was, I didn't realize I was the only one having trouble with it. People were like, this retirement plan, the website's horrible and the guy never gets back to us. What do we do about this retirement plan? We didn't know people were struggling with it. So that was great insight for us that they wanted more education. They wanted a better opportunity with that plan. It's interesting.
Good stuff to know.
Yeah.
So you've worked in a variety of industries and types of businesses. Do you have any that you find you work better in or prefer to work in?
You know, it's funny. I think because I'm married to somebody who owns a construction company, I understand them a little bit more. They're easier to have real conversations with. I think lots of times that hands-on industry where they're more of a blue-collar worker, you can have more open, honest conversations sometimes. So it seems like the opposite. But you can really push back and be like, no, this isn't why we do it this way. This is why we have to do it that way. I can remember working for the mining company and just simply explaining, you don't show up, it's a crew of three. The other two are now unsafe, right? So they're open to more conversations. They'll push back and have deeper conversations with you sometimes because they're more willing to be more vocal. So I think that hands-on blue-collar industry, I love. And especially nonprofits, when you see the beauty they're doing in the world, to be able to come in and see when you impact the employee base, how they then impact the people they're serving in the community, it just gives you such an amazing sense of fulfillment to be able to say, oh, I may not have been on the front lines of that, but we had something in getting to that point.
Yeah, it's fulfilling. Yeah.
Very much so. So yeah, I think those are probably my two favorites, but we'll work with whatever industry somebody needs. If I need to learn more about the industry, I'll go out and do the research to do the best I can for somebody.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And what about size of business?
My main niche is 50 and under most of the time because they don't have HR, they have an HR one. And so it's really a good spot for me because they can bring me in on a small basis to get the support they need, not have to put me on staff, and then I'm really serving them easily. We'll work with larger, especially if they want specific trainings, if they want some in-house guidance. I can do coaching for new managers, new HR people that need some career coaching and or management coaching. So we'll work with any size, but the smaller companies are really where my heart is from working with them so much.
You can see the impact probably.
Yes, you can see it much quicker.
Yes. And other things that you do, you have HR Cafe. So tell me about HR Cafe.
So the HR Cafe I run with my friend Lauren Gomes Atwood, who is HR at Ascend Mental Wellness. She is a lovely woman who I've actually met her through her husband, who I worked at a nonprofit with. And she came to me and said, I'm new into the HR space in this community, just not from here. She's a transplant, but she loves it here. She said, how do I get out and get networking with HR folks? And there was a previous group that is now being brought back, the ADK HRA, which is coming back. We're going to start to try to partner with some things in 2026, which we're excited about. But Lauren said, where do we network with other HR professionals? I said, great question. Let's start something. And so we just put it out there. And we meet mostly here at Crandall Library in the basement. They have a beautiful space that we get to use. It's not just open to HR professionals. If you work with HR professionals, if you're in leadership, if you're managing HR professionals, if you're in the insurance industry and work directly with HR professionals, if you touch HR in any way, we want you to come be a part of the conversation. It has a bit of an educational component, but we are mostly about the networking and sharing of ideas. And so at our very first meeting, our speaker, we knew she was going to be late. She had a board meeting beforehand. So I decided to put them all on the spot. And I said, who has an HR question they want hands-on information for? And a woman who's a banker said, I'm struggling with dress codes and how do I deal with it? Everybody jumped in and told her what they were doing and how they were doing it. And it was just a beautiful moment of HR, of people like supporting each other. I've been there. Let me help you. Here's what I'm struggling with. How can you help me? So we've created this space where they can network and it's a safe space to come together to have conversations. We meet once a month, typically on a Thursday morning. It varies depending on schedules.
Yeah. So it's another good resource you're providing for the area here.
Yes, we're trying to bring HR together. And it's interesting how industries may compete for employees, but HR people never seem to compete with each other. It must be the nature of our personalities that we love and come together and support each other.
And your problem solving.
Yes.
Right. Human problem solving.
Yes.
Not just business problems.
Yes. You know, and I've been reading a lot about burnout in human resources, and I never really thought about it, but there's nobody supporting the HR people. Everybody comes to HR for support, but where do we go? So now by creating this network and this group, we can rely on each other in those moments. And mm-hmm. there's been days I've called an HR colleague and said, I just can't today. Please talk me through this. Walk me off this ledge. Help me figure this out. And they go, okay, take a deep breath. Let's refocus. And they get you back on the right mm-hmm. direction.
What's in the future of HR Ninja?
Oh, the future of HR Ninja, you know, I just want to impact our local community as much as possible. We chose to live and work in Washington County, New York. We love Washington County. My husband grew up there. I grew just over the line in South Glens Falls. We just want to serve our community any way we can because it's a beautiful community. There's so many small businesses out there. I just want to see our community thrive and be happy. And a lot of people have moved to Washington County because it's just this idyllic little area in Kingsbury where we're in the country, but we're so close to downtown and Saratoga, Lake George, and it creates this beautiful lifestyle. And they're putting businesses here. So how do we help them keep employees here in the community and keep these businesses here and thriving? That's what I really want to do is serve as much of my county as possible. So yeah, and get out. And I love visiting places. So they have a business and they want me to come with my boots on and my hard hat, I'm in.
Because you can work remotely if you...
Yeah, yes. And most of what I do for clients is remote. So
you're not tied to location.
Correct. I have an Albany client who I've only been to her office once. And I just chose to drop in on her because I was down in Albany for the day. We've done everything remote, phone calls, Zoom calls, emails, and it's worked. And she needed a handbook and some policies and procedures, and we made it work. She also knows if she needs me on site, I'll hop in the car and go there. I'm an hour from her, and if she needs me, I can be there for her. So it's a nice mix of how we can make it all work.
Be limited to being able to like work in New York State because...
Absolutely not. No,
there are some state specific.
Correct.
But similar to industry, you could do the research.
Yes, we have all the resources to be able to do handbooks, policies, whatever we need. In the internet, it's so easy to go to a state website and a federal website now and get the information that we need to get them on the right path. So it's not a problem.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.